The majority of the National Park Service Advisory Board has resigned in protest over Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's unwillingness to meet with them. They were Obama appointees, and their terms were supposed to conclude in May. Among the resigning board members, former Alaska Governor Tony Knowles, who wrote in his resignation letter to Zinke that he has a profound concern that the mission of the national parks has been set aside. The Interior Department has not commented. Joining us now on Skype from Seattle is Sally Jewell, former Interior Secretary under President Obama. Secretary Jewell, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's good to be back.
And what do you think about this, that 9 out of the 12 National Park Service Advisory Board members resigned?
Well, I think that they are making a very important statement, which is that the advisory board worked incredibly hard. They did really good work to highlight the value of the national parks to all Americans and to talk about what they needed to do in this next century, as we're in began the next century of the national parks in 2017. And to not have any meetings, to not have their phone calls returned, to not have any opportunity to have an audience with the officials at the Interior Department is really a slap in the face. And I think sometimes you have to make a statement, which is, hey, this work matters. And if you're not going to pay attention to us, perhaps a mass resignation is going to draw attention to this very important work that the federal government does on behalf of all Americans.
Why do you think the Interior Department was unwilling to meet with them?
You know, I can't speculate on their actions. I know they were reviewing all advisory boards, but they didn't seem to actually care about the work. And I would say that one thing that has been very consistent with this administration is that anything associated with the last administration, they seem to walk away from. And the fact that there are people, you know, on this advisory board that were have been working through Republican and Democratic administrations on behalf of the national parks doesn't seem to matter to them. So, you know, these are busy people that have a lot of things going on, that have dedicated much of their time, and they were being ignored. They didn't just feel like they were being ignored. They were being ignored. And I have to believe that's consistent with what this administration has done with other advisory boards and councils that have been around for a long time and other agencies as well.
By the way, this advisory board was established back in 1935. What is it that they do exactly?
Well, it's varied under different administrations. It's a congressionally mandated advisory board, and what they did for the last 5 years, or at least the prior four years where I was involved, is they took the work of the National Park Second Century Commission, of which I was a member as a private citizen, as were many members of the advisory board, and worked closely with the Park Service to put it into action. So highlighting the value of the parks in education, helping people understand the value of ecosystems, not just within the park, but outside, and how they the work that needs to be done in order for them to be healthy ecosystems and unimpaired for future generations, as is the requirement under the Organic Act of the National Park Service. Making sure that they're there to tell the history and the story of all Americans, which has not traditionally been the case. And so you've seen, with advice from the National Park System Advisory Board, many more places that tell the story of African Americans, Latino Americans, Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, LGBT Americans. And all of that comes from work done by the advisory committee over, you know, the last half dozen years or so, or even more, that has really shaped what the national park system needs to do in its next century in order to fulfill its mission.
Do you think that the national parks as we know them are at risk because of this administration?
Absolutely, the parks are at risk. Everybody knows that the infrastructure is crumbling, and that's something that the Trump administration likes to talk about, and Secretary Zinke talks about as well. And that is that there's now close to a $12 billion backlog. And they've talked about putting money into infrastructures and the national parks being a place to do it. But they have not taken any actions that support that or prioritize that. Our parks are in jeopardy. When you have an advisory board like this that has worked closely with career staff at the Park Service who have done really good work, including, you know, working, for example, with Professor Bilmes at Harvard on a book that helps identify the economic value of the national parks. When you run the risk of devaluing that work, it demoralizes the people that are working there. And I think that we have seen that, and I've certainly heard from a number of people within the organization that they don't feel the kind of support that they did before. So if we lose the people with the knowledge and the ability to educate the next generation of young people to appreciate our history, our culture, our natural world, then we lose the value of the national parks that were set out in 1916 when the National Park Service was identified, or before that by Teddy Roosevelt with, you know, his designation of Yellowstone as a national park. So it's in jeopardy. There's no question.
And what about bigger picture? We've seen Secretary Zinke in recent months move to expand offshore drilling. He reduced the size of two national monuments in Utah. We've got the new tax bill, which opens up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska to drilling. What do you think about all of this?
It's an all-out attack on public lands. And I don't know behind the scenes why the extractive industries appear to be driving everything about this agenda. I don't understand it, because when Secretary Zinke and I talked when he was still a congressman and he'd been nominated for the job, he said all the right things. But when it comes down to it, he's been doing all the wrong things, including opening up all of the Outer Continental Shelf to oil and gas drilling as his proposal for the five-year plan. I mean, are you kidding me? Places where people don't want it, as we now know about Florida. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, I have been there. I have flown over it. It is unique in the world in that it is an undisturbed area that, if oil and gas development goes forward, will be destroyed in a way that just makes me sick for future generations. And I don't understand why at this time of really very significantly changing economics in the energy sector and the technological innovations that allow us to develop oil and gas in areas that are already disturbed, why the administration would have gone forward with the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and frankly, why members of Congress on the Republican side that approved this tax bill would allow something so egregious to be in a completely unrelated piece of legislation. It is an attack on our public lands for the benefit of a few. And I don't know what's motivating them, but I suspect history will be the judge and it will not be kind.
And do you expect that any of this stuff is going to be reversible if there's a different administration that comes in later, or is once this is done, can't be undone?
When oil and gas leases are let or mining land is approved for mining, or mining claims are made, and you'd be amazed how easy it is to lay out a mining claim. Most land protections honor valid existing rights. So Congress can do what it wants, but if the administration leases these lands and provides a contract, if you will, for people to be able to go and explore or develop, those generally are honored in the future without congressional action. So the damage that they are doing could be long-lasting. In the case of drilling for offshore, that is a long process with lots of opportunities to check in. So while the headline of drilling everywhere in the Outer Continental Shelf offshore certainly grabbed people's attention, there is a requirement that they take in a public input. And as we did when we were there, and our five-year plan reflected a lot of input that says don't drill in the Atlantic, don't drill in the Pacific with the exception of a few areas in Alaska, don't drill in the Arctic, and in fact take some of these places off entirely. So once contracts are let and leases are made, that is permanent damage you cannot reverse. But while it is just in the planning stages, there are a lot of things that can be done, and there will be people that are fighting for that.
That's Sally Jewell, the former Secretary of the Interior under President Obama. Secretary Jewell, thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for taking on this important topic, Jeremy.